Hello, Shoujo listeners. I hope everyone had a lovely holiday with their friends and families. And here are your good friends, Sarah and Joe from the Shoujo podcast to say hi, talk about ourselves because we love to do that, and then talk about season two of My Happy Marriage. Joe, kick us off. What up?
I have beef with certain department stores.
Uh-huh.
All right. So here's the thing. I'm a little frenetic right now because I drink a lot of coffee. I drink a lot of coffee today for various reasons.
Oh,
I got my car.
Exciting.
I took my car to get the, you know, oil changed or whatever. And so I was just sitting in a Panera Bread all morning drinking coffee. And then I got a coffee at another place because I was meeting some friends, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm like a little bit all over the place, right? And I have complaints about certain stores because this Christmas, my mom's coming to visit me, which means I'm hosting Christmas at my apartment, which I never do because I always go to them, which means I have to buy all new Christmas decorations because I basically have none. Okay, the quality of Christmas decorations that is around nowadays is really, really bad. Unfortunately, Joann Fabrics has been killed by vulture capital, as we all expect. Everything will eventually be killed by venture capitalists who hate living in society. They hate people. All they care is number go up and don't care about what that means, what the implications of number go up are. So they do things like shut down Joann Fabrics, a place that has some pretty okay decorations, but basically leaves nothing else in its wake. The thing that is left in its wake is Michaels. And I have to tell you, I hate them. I hate Michaels. Awful store.
As much as Hobby Lobby, though.
I hate Hobby Lobby on like a philosophical level. You know what I mean?
Okay.
I'm like, I hope the people who like make this store and run this store and benefit from the store doing well blow up in some kind of anomalous sun caused explosion. That is my goal, because if you don't know anything about the freaks that own that company, they're like smuggling in, what did they get in trouble for? It was like some, like, they got in trouble for smuggling in artifacts from Syria because they like tried to import them as tiles or something. They're doing like weird for their Bible museum. Like, these are like some weird freaks.
Okay. So if Joe had Death Note, head of Hobby Lobby and Michael's.
There are some people ahead of the list. There are some people ahead of the list in my Death Note if I have a Death Note. But we're not going to talk about that now because this was supposed to be. I'm not going to get in trouble. Anyway, I don't like Michaels because the Michaels here has gone to a new thing. There's a new element to shopping they introduce, which I think is very interesting. Normally, when you go to somewhere to shop, you like look at the product and you're like, that's a cool product. Maybe I should buy this. And then you look at how much it costs and you're like, I'm going to buy this because it costs this much. And I think that's worth what I pay for the product. And that's how a market works. All right, cool. Michaels has tried a new thing, which is, what if we didn't tell you what it cost? What if nothing has a price tag?
That's stupid.
And I'm like, well, that doesn't make any sense. This doesn't have a price tag. But there are signs all over the place saying it's like, oh, it's Christmas decor. It's like, you know, discounted X percent, whatever. So I'm like, okay, well, it can't be that much. I bought like a ribbon and a bow, like a ribbon bow. And I take
like
it to the counter.
A roll of ribbon?
Like a roll of ribbon and then a bow made of the same type of ribbon.
Okay.
I'm like, okay, well, this clearly can't cost this much. And I also got a candle because it's like, this candle's on sale. It's got candy canes on it. I'm like, sure. So I buy these three things, right? I go to the checkout counter. I see on display that they have something that's like, oh, you need to look up a price. You should download the Michaels app so you can scan the barcode in to see how much it costs. And I'm like, I am not going to download an entire app to my phone that is entirely worthless other than the one time every 6 months I come into a Michaels. That's stupid. Anyway, I go to the checkout thing. How much do we think a roll of ribbon, a bow, and a Christmas candle cost? How much money do you think that would cost?
$37.
$37, right? Because each one's probably like $10-ish.
I just know that candle probably expensive.
The candle was the cheapest thing. The candle was
$10. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It was $55.
Okay. Holy
The other
shit.
Stuff was so unbelievably expensive, but I had to wait in this long ass line because it's like right before Christmas or whatever. So I'm like, well, I'm not going to like. So I'm just like, whatever. I'm going to eat the cost of this expensive stuff and just vow to never go to Michael's ever again. And so I did not. And then earlier today, I went to Kohl's and had basically the opposite experience of like, I like go there. I'm like, well, this is going to cost this much money. And then they like do all those weird Kohl's calculations.
Yep.
And then they're like, It costs like, you know, around like an amount of money that's like reasonable for what I got. Cause I got like placemats, but, it was weird just like getting the opposite experience of like this thing. I thought this was going to cost me, you know, like $30 for placemats and it cost me $24. And I'm like, all right, cool. Can people just tell me what things cost? Why am I having to like,
well, it's not like they're, I was like, oh, maybe it's save money by not having the, or save like paper by not having the price tag on a thing, but like no, that's wild. At least have a station where you can scan to like check or whatever.
Obviously,
but, yeah,
online outlets like Amazon are bad because they just consume everything else and they destroy your local economy. However, they do tell you how much things cost on it, which I did not think of as a feature of shopping, but apparently I should. Apparently I should view that as
a luxury.
That I can understand how much money I'm paying for a thing.
You know where you should go? World Market has pretty cute stuff if you haven't. I don't know if you have World Market.
I do
actually,
have World Market. Like, it's just kind of far from me.
Yeah, because I was telling my, showing off some stuff at World Market to my supervisor, and she lives in Ohio, and she's like, there's one like 30 minutes away.
Yeah, it's not that bad. It's just like not in a direction I ever go.
Yeah, they have pretty cute ornaments. I just like World Market. You don't really think to go there unless you're looking for something super particular that's hard to find elsewhere, but they got a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, other than that.
Well, okay, so if your mom showed up and wasn't decorated, is going to like suck the soul out of Christmas.
She's going to leave. She's going to turn around and get back on the plane and fly back home.
Oh, God.
That's what would happen.
She's just as disappointed in you for not decorating as she is for me for not liking my happy marriage.
Uh-huh. It'll be just like that. No, she wouldn't care. I just think it would be good if I did that, you know?
Oh, okay.
I want it to be festive.
No, I don't have a shred of decor at my place. And,
awful.
No, I'm just like, I don't want to buy that. And I'm not, it's not like I'm celebrating Christmas here. So just let it all be at my mom's place where I'll be for Christmas.
Well, that's what normally it is for me, but now I'm hosting it. Yeah. So I can't do that this year. I had to buy a little tree.
You could.
Ugh.
Just be like, is my love not enough, mother?
Uh-huh.
You need all of this.
That line has never worked for me, so.
No. Have you ever tried it, though?
I don't know. Maybe I have.
You gotta have the confidence, too.
Yeah.
You won't know it unless you try.
Anyway, other than that,
at least she'll know the efforts you went to.
That's true. She'll know about it. I see you have linked this Haikyuu dub. Well, I'm going to listen to this now.
Oh,
I'm going to listen to.
Basically, I was telling Joe, oh, you know, someone I know I introduced to Haikyuu is watching the dub, which I did not realize existed. And it is not the best dub I've ever seen, but there's one particular character that it like Asahi is that character, and the English dub is not doing it. Just can't stop laughing every time I hear her talking.
Wow.
It's
wow.
Not even the yelling part, but just the him talking part
over here.
So bad.
Yeah, you are not given voice direction here. This definitely feels like everybody, not only does it feel like everybody recorded their lines at a different place. It feels like everybody recorded their lines at a different period of time entirely.
It's rough. It's jarring.
Bizarre.
You would think, I guess, I wonder if there's like studio. Well, who? No, I don't know. I guess multiple places do multiple, or I guess it's up to the director to determine the quality of the voice acting. Like,
well, it's not uncommon. I feel like especially post-COVID, it's not uncommon for like everybody to do like have their own home recording thing and to record separately, like in different like locations entirely. You know what I mean? Like what I'm describing is something I think people actually do in terms of like recorded at different times and at different places. Just because, I don't know, logistics. But, you know, it's usually better if they're all in the same place and can like listen to what the other person is saying and react to it in a way that you would if you did that. But I understand that that is not how production always happens. I assume because it's cheaper to just record everybody individually.
I guess it's better than the banana fish AI dub.
Everything is better than an AI dub.
So bad. No, I just like cannot keep a straight face. And so I just figured I'd send that to you to
see. I don't think I've watched any anime since last time, pretty much. Been kind of busy.
I've watched not an anime, but I think just the season finale for the first season of The Mighty Nein by Critical Role, the folks who do Legend of Vox Machina. I just watched the finale. And I quite like this one. And I think you might like this one a lot more. It doesn't have the same like dumb, crude sense of humor, at least not to the extent that Vox Machina does. So it feels a bit more like not as immature in that way, at least. So you might like The Mighty Nein more than. But anyways, finished that. Quite enjoyed that. Cool to see the same cast voice different characters of like different genders and this and that. So it was cool. Other than that, I don't think I've watched anything other than I'm on like season 33 of Survivor. So I'm I just got to power through. Maybe I can get a good chunk out while I'm off for 2 weeks. Because season 49 just wrapped. So I've got probably like until May, like April. I don't know when Survivor comes out. I've got a few months until probably season 50 comes out. So, and then what will I do with my free time? I don't know. What will I do when I don't just, maybe I'll get back to playing video games, which is another thing I'm trying to do.
Nice.
So I played Baldur's Gate a bunch today. I kept like, but I'm in act three where everything is like a enormous boss fight that takes forever to do. And then I keep not doing it good. So it's like, okay, there goes 30 minutes of a failed attempt at this encounter. Yeah. So it's like,
that's always rough.
A lot of time to get nowhere.
I started playing a game to kill some time. I started playing Ball X Pit. It's like a roguelite pinball kind of game. That's also kind of like, I think it's by the same people that did Vampire Survivors. So it's very much like, you kind of just auto shoot and move around, but it's like pinball. So you can kind of like aim and you got to dodge things. It's pretty fun.
Just Google Ball Pit and I need to
Ball X Pit.
The game. Yep. Cause I just got like baby ball pits.
I'm playing in the ball pit, you know, I miss DashCon. That's what I want.
Okay. Well, you're enjoying it or you just killing time and it's fine.
No, it's good. It's good. I played on my Steam Deck. It's nice.
Oh, yeah. How are you liking your Steam Deck? How did it serve you for a Japan trip and all that?
So far I played Star Fox Adventures and I beat that game. I don't know if that game's that good. I'm playing the other Star Fox game, Star Fox Assault. That game is also not particularly good. So I'm playing those two things. What else did I play on my Steam Deck? I played Perfect Tides. That was pretty good. I didn't really play it that much in Japan. I played it on the plane.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's fine.
Thoughts on like battery life, the weight of it, blah, 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 blah.
I don't like, it's basically perfect just like, storage. Oh, I can play this game in another room kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like, I don't, it's fine.
When you're playing it, is it downloaded or are you casting? That's part.
I'm downloading it basically all the time. I mean, I use it for a lot of like emulation stuff, which is good. It's good for that. And you know, regular games are fine. I haven't done anything really ambitious. I'm mostly playing like pixely indie games on it. So like everything just runs totally fine. And it doesn't really like the battery life isn't a huge problem because I'm not like really taxing it all that much. I will say the worst thing about it is that like it doesn't turn off automatically. Like when you push the power button, it goes into like sleep mode. But then if I don't pick it up for another 2 days, it's always dead. So that part is kind of annoying, like making sure it doesn't die all the time or it's always kind of like close to being plugged in. And so it's not as portable as I want if I'm not planning it. Like I can't just pick it up and like walk around and always kind of expect it has a charge like I can with my like iPad or anything else. But it's still pretty good.
Okay, nice. Well, does it feel like you're like playing games you wouldn't have if you were only playing games at your computer?
No.
Oh, okay.
Not really.
No, okay. No, maybe I like picked up, I like started playing a game called Is This Seat Taken, which is just like a little kind of puzzly game.
Okay.
That's like a game I would not play just on my PC, but since I was like hanging out with someone and they were doing something, I just played that and it's like easy, kind of didn't have to think too hard. Basically, I got it as a free code when I went to some event, but checked it out. It's cool.
Nice.
What do you want for Christmas?
I don't know.
We're grown ass adults.
I don't really
ask for anything for
no,
Christmas.
No, not really. No, I don't really ask. Like, I don't really do gifts with my family that
Christmas
much.
Yeah.
Because I get, like, if I want something, I just buy it. Like, I don't think twice. You know what I mean? I'm so powerful as an adult. I have access to money all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, some of us aren't as successful of adults as
you got
you
a credit
are.
Card. You just run up that debt, bro.
You know, I have been doing that, but
yeah,
you know,
buy now, pay later. It's great.
To.
You don't have to. You can just destroy your whole financial situation without noticing. It's awesome.
Uh huh. Okay, so no. Okay, mine's not exciting this year. Last year, I got like this mic I use and the like my green screen, but this year I asked for like a fancy. Well, I didn't realize how fancy it was. And then I looked up the price and then I was like, never mind. I don't want this for Christmas. This is too fancy. But
whoa.
My sister has like this hair dryer that I tried when we were at the wedding. And I was like, wow, this is awesome. I should get one of these. And she's like, yeah, you should ask for it for Christmas. And then I looked it up and I was like, oh, my God, why is the hair dryer this expensive?
Like, do everything.
I am embarrassed. By how expensive this hair dryer.
Powerful hair dryer.
But it's bad. I don't want to talk about. But anyways, that's why. And then I was like, okay, don't give me anything else. But yeah.
Nice. Nice. Yeah.
You know, the boring adult gift. Yeah. Yeah. Well, speaking of not boring but exciting things.
Time for exciting.
With my
excitement time.
You want I want to talk about
positivity.
Happy.
Happy. It's in the name.
Yeah.
My Happy Marriage, season two. It's different
I
this
think
time.
We're getting there. Uh-huh. It is.
It's season two, baby.
Yes. And I did watch the OVA just to
Do you have any OVA thoughts from last time?
There was no tension. I was hoping there was some kind of look between ex-husband and wife, but there was zero.
No, it doesn't appear like that's going to be part of
damn it
this season either so far.
What I want.
Yeah, but we do get some other drama this season, so.
Yes, we do. Why don't you tell us all about it,
Yeah,
Jen?
Let's get into it. But first, I'm going to talk about some voice actors that are going to come up this season. We're going to start with this is the season where we learn about Kyoka's family. So we're going to look at Kyoka's parents. We're going to start first with his dad, whose name is Tadakio. And he is voiced by Ryotaro Okiayu. Hard name for me to say.
Nailed it.
He voices Kokushibo in Demon Slayer, who's the demon with six eyes. Who shows up in the movies and stuff. But I haven't watched yet, but I think he's in it. He's also Aiko Furukawa in Clannad. Who is that, Sarah? Do you watch Clannad?
The name is not coming. It's not pulling anything to mind for me. I'm assuming it could be the dad. But love Clannad.
Could be the dad.
It's another one that's not shoujo, but like, well, and it doesn't really seem like a shoujo either, but like I feel like it's got the feels and stuff.
Yeah, he's the dad.
Okay, yeah.
He's also the voice of Scar in the original Full Metal Alchemist. Last time we had the other voice actor for Brotherhood, so we got all the scars covered. He's the voice of Byakuya Kuchiki in Bleach, everyone's favorite older brother who's kind of a bad guy and then not, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
He plays two characters in One Piece. He plays Kaku, the guy with the long nose, who is in Water 7. And Borsellino, my favorite guy, who's one of the admirals who is made of light. He plays Bright Noah in Mobile Suit Gundam Son, which is like a parody of original Gundam that came out in 2014.
Okay.
And lastly is Tristan in Yu-Gi-Oh, who has a different name, his Honda in the Japanese version,
but it's
the
voice of Tristan. That's not his name in the Japanese version.
No. Hiroto Honda.
Gotcha. Okay, well, this guy's a heavy hitter in the voice acting industry.
Pretty good. And then Kyoka's mom, whose name is Fuyu, she is played by Kikuko Inoue, who is the voice of Bell Dandy and Oh My Goddess, which I think is like the main chick.
Her name's Bell Dandy?
Her name's Bell Dandy.
Oh, okay.
She has a crazy design.
I'm familiar with that's like an older one that I feel like I used to see around a lot.
It is. It's an older one. She is Miria in Claymore.
I think I know which one that is. Claymore's so good.
She's Palm in Hunter Hunter, one of the few women in Hunter Hunter.
Is that the cooking lady?
That is the lady who's creepy and has like the hair going over her eyes and is like kind of, I don't remember what she does.
The spider people.
No, she's not a villain. She's on the hunter team, but she's just kind of weird. She's like the protege of the guy who wears a suit. I don't like her. Anyway.
Okay. Anyways.
She plays Katsumi Tendo in Ranma One Half. That's the oldest sister.
Yeah, the oldest sister.
Yep. And as with the entire cast or most of the cast of Ranma One Half, she was that in the original and the newest remake. So good for her. She's Celsie in Code Geass, who's like Lloyd's assistant. She's Lust in Code Metal. Or God, what did I just say? Code Metal? Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood. She's Sane. Nice. Furukawa and Clannad, who is that the?
I'm assuming that's the wife. Yeah,
we got the whole family.
Things. How cute!
Crazy. She plays Aina in Full Metal Alchemist. Enough. God, what am I doing? I'm just saying the wrong thing. She plays Aina in Mobile Suit Gundam: The 08 The Mess Team, which I watched kind of recently. That's like the main chick. And she plays Nurse Joy in Pokemon Diamond and Pearl.
Nice, nice,
great. I can tell this is a good reading day for me. This is a good summary. It's going to be, I'm going to get through a flight. This is me having too much coffee. It's going to be like, just destroy my everything. So get ready, listener, for the next several minutes of this.
I'm excited.
All right, here we go. My Happy Marriage Season 2, Episode 1 is called Another Kudo Residence. We open on a dream where a young crying Mio is comforted by her adult friends. And then we get a horrible premonition where they all disappear and Mio is transported into a dead forest and then further into a snow-filled field where a sad Kyoka apologizes and said he loves her. And then we cut to her waking up.
Still dreaming, but...
Still dreaming. Prophetic
different.
Dreams. We then cut to Mio and Arata eating breakfast, discussing the dream. Arata doesn't think it's anything too bad, but, you know, they should keep an eye on it. And then it's revealed that Kyoka's also here, meaning the three of them eat breakfast every morning. And Kyoka is not happy about that. It's very funny.
No, he's freaking encroaching on the lovey-dove time. They have so little already. They don't even share a room. When are they supposed to get any alone time?
They get no alone time. Anyway, Kyoka states that separating your abilities from your feelings is impossible. But like as you get better, they get more in sync with each other. So, you know, this could just be bad feelings. This could be a premonition. I don't know.
Trying to comfort, I guess.
Yeah. Outside, Mio sweeps leaves and thinks about how she's the only one with dream powers, so it's kind of like anyone's best guess as to like what this all means as the OP plays. And we get a new OP this season. What do we think about it?
They are incredibly tan in the opening. Like, they are ghostly pale in the anime, but they are so tan in the opening.
Yep. There's also very noticeably a new guy at Kyoka's job who has blue hair who shows up multiple times. And I'm like, who the hell is this?
I guess we'll find out.
Also, there's lots of kids. There's like three kids in this opening. And I'm like, who the hell are these kids? I mean, one of them's Asahi, I think. But I don't know who the other two are.
We'll find out. Also,
Anyway, we cut back to Mio, Hazuki, and Kyoka shopping. Like before, Kyoka is annoyed that a side character is ruining his scenes with Mio, and he complains about it to Hazuki, and they get into a fight.
Okay, also, if Arata is supposed to be hanging around as the bodyguard, shouldn't he be tagging along too?
I guess so, but maybe he doesn't need to there if Kyoka's there, you know what I mean? It's just like they can tag team.
Why the hell was he there in the morning?
Because they gotta eat breakfast together. I mean, I do like this like sitcom life where we always get a side character now. We were complaining before of like, we never get time with the side characters, and now they're everywhere. Good.
Yes, I know. Now we no love time.
While they're fighting, Mio starts getting flashes of a mysterious and ominous bi-spectacled man. She wonders what's going on and thinks that somebody is watching her. And then a hand pats her shoulder and she turns to see an old man who asks if she's Mio. And he says he couldn't wait for the wedding to see her, and we learn that he's Kyoka's father. Kyoka does not appear to have a great relationship with his father, and his father just kind of laughs it off, but he seems kind of pissed. Anyway, he's here to meet Mio, who he's like very excited to meet. He's like, oh, it's so great. I heard you're cool. Anyway, he wants to invite Mio and Kyoka over to their house. Come meet the parents. That's what this season's going to be about.
Yeah, both Hazuki and Kyoka seem so indifferent to the fact that their dad is there, of whom I don't think they see that often. But they're both like, oh, what the hell are you doing here, my guy?
Hey, Dad, like, what's going on? It's very sitcom-y, it feels like.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that is not what the rest of the season is like so far, but this part in particular does feel like that. They're like, what are you doing here, Dad?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting that, Kyoka definitely resembles his parents.
Yes.
Like, he's got the hair, I guess he gets the hair from his dad, but definitely not the demeanor of. Because I thought his dad as the former head was going to be like stone cold, like this, that, whatever.
Right.
Turns out he's not the one like that.
Nope, he's chill. Yeah. He's just like, whatever, man. I'm here to hang out. The four of them go to a coffee shop, and Mio thinks that Kyoka's dad is the one who arranged her marriage to Kyoka, so that's weird to think about. Kyoka immediately denies all requests to visit his parents. His dad tells him that there's more and hands him a newspaper slip and says that there's been some grotesquery sightings around their estate, but Kyoka says that's someone else's problem. But just kidding, it's not someone else's problem, it's gonna be his problem, because then Kyoka gets a request from Prince Takahito to investigate, and Kyoka's like, how did you know this was gonna happen, Dad? And his dad's like, ooh, who knows? What a weird coincidence. I'm definitely not powerful and influential or anything. I'm just some guy. Very interesting.
Yes.
I do like how.
Yeah, I guess when you think about, if it was him pulling the strings for Kyoka and her to get together, then like, does he have knowledge that he just did not share with other cast members?
Yeah. Because we do get we get some stuff on that later.
Yep.
I do like how Prince Takahito like sends this message in like a little crane, and then Kyoka has to unfold it very dramatically, and it's just like a note, and he's like, shit, I have to do this?
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Well, yeah, I guess your son will listen to you. Just get in touch with the person he has
to. Just call his boss. So it looks like Kyoka's gonna go, and his dad is like, well, are you gonna come along too, Mio, now that my son's coming against his will? And Mio is like, geez, I don't know. It seems like I'm walking into the middle of a complicated family episode. Maybe I like shouldn't get involved. But then Kyoka's like, no, I want you there. It'd be fun. So she's like, all right, cool.
Yes, because he's like, I'll probably be there a few days. So he doesn't want to be apart from more than like a night. Oh.
This is funny. I do like how her immediate response is like, ooh, the vibes on this seem bad.
I mean, yeah, she's definitely, I think, we're seeing getting a lot more social practice. We're starting to perceive things, have opinions on things.
Yep. And she's right.
Voice thoughts.
The vibes are going to be bad.
Yeah,
but she's going to go along. Idea. Well, we cut to Kyoka and Mio on a train. Woo!
Technology,
baby. We're here. Mio is worried about meeting Kyoka's parents. Even though she's from an upper-class family, technically, she really hasn't had an upper-class upbringing or, like, education. She didn't even go to girls' school, so she's like, they're gonna know I don't know anything. That's real. I would be worried about that. I'm gonna fail my exam, my daughter-in-law exam.
Yeah, well, I mean, the way people talk about the family of Sayamori is, it's like, I don't know if it would have mattered if you did go to school or not. People seem to just frown upon them regardless.
That's true. They do not seem to be held in very high regard by anybody, really. We get a flashback of Kyoka at work where he, Okaito, and Goto discuss that there have been sightings of an Oni in several places, which is like a demon. And they're like, well, that shouldn't really happen unless somebody is like doing something, because most people can't see grotesqueries anyway. So the idea that people in multiple places have spotted the same one would be really weird. So something's going on. We gotta get to the bottom of it.
Where's our PI friend? Get him on the case. For real,
that guy could do it. Kyoka, as we're going to find out, not the best investigator. Yeah, we need the PI. We need that guy. Oh, dude, imagine if Kyoka got to dress up as like a hard-boiled detective and just did like a noir shit.
Imagine he got to wear anything but that unflattering military outfit.
The outfit's bad. He needs a new outfit.
It's
desperately.
It like doesn't do him. It like doesn't. It's not his colors. It's
dude. Yeah. Oh god. Now I'm just imagining if like the second half of like the B plot was Kyoka doing like investigative stuff, like actually doing detective shit. Oh, that would be good.
Yeah. Well, this isn't exactly a story of like explaining everything super well. So I don't think the author has the capacity to be creating mysteries that then have to be solved when
it's
pretty bare bones.
It's not about
as far
that.
As like here's how things work,
but that would
just
be fun.
Go with it.
I want that. Like he's doing like case closed in the background. He's just doing like what's the guy, Columbo? He just does Columbo stuff where he's just like teetering along, and then at the very end of the episode he's like, oh, and one more thing, and then he just reveals the whole crime. That'd be good.
No, that sounds like you need humor in the show.
All right. You probably would. You would need humor. Yeah, it's not very funny. It's still not very funny. Mio, not any closer to telling a joke.
No.
Anyway, they show up and Kyoka and Mio meet Sasaki, the Kudo's head butler, and he's dressed in like a Western butler suit. In fact, pretty much everything about the Kudo's family is very Western, and I'm going to comment about it in my notes because it's very contrasted.
House is very pretty.
Oh, yeah. They get into a car and drive up to the mountain to get to the estate, and it's a huge two-story Western-style mansion. It's like it's like you're in freaking Downton Abbey all of a sudden.
Yeah, it's really pretty. Well, because their home is Japanese, but then
in
the Sayamori estate was as well.
Yeah.
But all the, I guess his workplace is pretty Western, so. And I guess he grew up in Western style, so.
I guess so.
Interesting that the house he lives in is Eastern style.
Yeah, very. I feel like there's got to be something going on with that. I don't know what it is right now, but.
Oh, the influence. Well, and I mean, his sister's all jazzed up about that. So I don't know if that's like, I'm not as familiar enough with like the history of Japan, if it was like frowned upon to not adapt to like the new styles or something. Mm-hmm. And so it's like kind of, or if it's like more expensive. And so it's like a class thing to afford all of this.
It's definitely a class thing here, right? But like,
yeah,
it's hard for me to tell what it's saying about that, because like Kyoka wears Japanese style clothes and his dad also wears Japanese style clothes, but his mom doesn't. Mm-hmm. And neither does Hazuki pretty much ever. And so that's interesting because they're not all that much alike. So it's, I don't know. I feel like we're doing something here, but I can't quite put my finger on it yet. Anyway, they're shown in and we see the entry hall where all six other servants who are also dressed in like Western style, like maid outfits and that kind of thing, except for one who's like the main head mistress who's dressed in like a Japanese style, are there. And then Kyoka's father, who's also wearing Japanese style clothes, is there. So that's kind of the big contrast here. So it's a little bit split. Kyoka's father, whose name is Tadakio, so I'm gonna start calling that, even though they don't in the show, and I had to look up his name because I'm like, what the, I can't keep calling him Kyoka's dad. He greets them all and calls his wife Fuyu down, and he's like very cute about it.
He's all like, my honey, my sugar, whatever.
She does not seem to appreciate that, because we meet Fuyu and she is like a no-nonsense woman wearing a like very like what's the word I'm on to look for, like matriarchal dress here. It's like the, again, it feels like Downton Abbey to me, right? It's like the most lavish kind of thing.
Yeah, with a big old like collar and this and that. I don't like her updo. She got her hair pinned up. I don't think that's doing her any favors, but boy oh boy does Kyoka look just like his mom. As far as like the RBF, it's crazy.
She approaches Kyoka and scolds him for never visiting, even on holidays. And he says he just doesn't want to see her. And it's like, oh, okay, their relationship is really bad, like way worse than we thought it was going to be. Mio takes this opportunity of them sniping at each other to introduce herself. And she like bows to Fuyu, and Fuyu is like, how long are you going to stay bowing like that? And then Mio apologizes. And then Fuyu is like, I didn't ask for an apology, which is exactly the same thing that happens when she met Kyoka the first time, which I clocked this the first time. It gets brought up later, but I was like, oh, that's basically what he does. They're so similar.
Yes.
But what's not similar is then Fuyu asks Kyoka who this shabby servant is and then proceeds to insult Mio to her face, like, by talking to Kyoka
big
about
time.
It. It's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, it's...
She just immediately goes for it.
Like, all out. No subtlety. In front of everyone. It's something.
Yeah, like, the idea that she comes down and is like, hey, son, how come you never visit me? Anyway, who's this little rat you brought along with you? Like, what's up with that?
How could you not want to come visit when this is how I treat you again?
Yeah, very, very like, ooh, all right, we got some problems.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, in this, we get an eye catch, which is like a really nice looking, like, I don't even know. It's like,
nest,
yeah, it's like a bird's nest.
Birdies.
It looks really good.
It's cute.
I like it.
Yeah, I was going to say, it seemed like they maybe bumped up the quality or something, but yeah.
I don't think there was an eye catch in season one, was there?
I don't think there was.
Yeah.
Or it might have just been like generic soccer flower pattern or something.
Oh, maybe.
Totally unremarkable.
Listen, good eye catches are good. Eye catches, always fun. Anyway, we get back to the scene. Kyoka gets pissed, but Fuyu does not like let up at all. And so Kyoka conjures some lightning outside to demonstrate how pissed off he is. And then Fuyu scolds Kyoka for using his powers like that. But Kyoka says that he doesn't really think of you as my mother anyway. So, like, maybe you should keep your scolding to yourself.
I wonder if she's got powers. Surely she does.
Maybe.
To get married.
Yeah.
Well, you would think to be married into this family.
Right.
She's unfazed.
Yeah, she does not really care that he does this. She's like, wow, nope. How petty. And I'm like, listen, lady.
Yep, yep.
Out of all the people being petty here, I think this is like a contest between you two. Race to the bottom.
Yeah.
Although I think Kyoka is like on better ground here. Fuyu decides to return her attention to criticizing Mio when she's interrupted by Tadakio casting some ice magic between them. He's like, well, looks like introductions are over. Maybe you guys can take your stuff upstairs and we can all be separated for a little bit. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, it seems like, yeah, I'm assuming we'll get more of like, what the hell this dynamic. This is, I'm like, I need to see a flashback, please, of what this family functioned when they were all under the same roof and he was the head of the house. Because like, it's a real weird dynamic where he's super passive, just letting his wife run rampant.
Yep.
And like, how does she treat Hazuki? Or is it just because he's there?
I am fascinated to learn that.
Yeah. So, you know,
I can't.
Surprised she didn't offer to come along as support for Miyu.
We have to get something. Like, I can't imagine the divorce went well with her.
Oh, totally.
There's no way.
Maybe they don't talk. Maybe.
Ooh.
Or she doesn't let her see Asahi the grandkid ever, probably, or something like that, maybe.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Mean grandma.
That would be good. I'm looking forward to that. I'm sure we'll get something like that. Anyway, Kyoka and Mio head upstairs, and Kyoka tells his mother that the next time she talks to Mio, he'll kill her. And Mio is like, whoa, dude.
Yeah.
It's like, oh shit. Yeah. Real escalation here. When they get upstairs, Kyoka apologizes to Mio for his mother, and Mio's like, look, I'm actually, like, pretty used to getting criticized by, like, maternal figures, so, like, don't worry about it. And she's like, and she thinks how she wants to get in good with his mother anyway. She's like, if I can just, like, rectify this, that could solve a lot of problems for everybody, so I'm just gonna try to do that. That's her goal.
Yeah, we like her setting goals for herself, and I'm, like, feeling better about her. I don't think much time at all has like elapsed since season one, season two, like, but I'm liking Mio more.
Yeah. Yeah, no, she's good.
Yeah.
I like her being
active.
She's
going to do more things.
This is
yes,
good.
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
Kyoka and Mio go for a walk in the countryside, but like Mio has to do all of this in a kimono, which like does not give you a long stride, and they're like climbing over logs and stuff. And I'm like, bro, That's like hard. Should you just like, you should wear a different outfit for this. I don't know. It just seems like really difficult to have to like navigate through all of that. They're kind of like hiking almost.
Yeah, this isn't some stroll. Yeah. This is like, yeah, very much so. So
just, wow, should you just do this?
Arlie, give us like a cute moment where he helps like lift her up over something.
He does a little bit.
Give us something, I guess. More.
Yeah. Yeah, this was fascinating to think about. I'm like, oh, I guess you would have to do that. Yeah, wow. Oh, they visit a shop and Mio.
And he's.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sorry, this is him wearing like Western. It's not even his outfit, but he's wearing Western here. So
that's true.
I wonder if he's like, dressing differently being here than he would be at home.
Yeah, it's good. I like him in his outfit.
Yeah, just like a white button up.
Yeah, it's kind of generic, but at least it's something different. At least he's not wearing his uniform.
Yeah, it suits him better. Yeah.
They visit a shop and Mio buys a hand-carved bunny statue and Kyoka buys an entire barrel of beer. And then the shopkeep tells Kyoka that some Oni sightings have happened nearby at the abandoned shack over yonder. He's like, okay. Mio and Kyoka watch the sunset together and Kyoka apologizes for his mother again. And Mio says, look, I'm not just tolerating it. Like, I'm actually really going to try to reach out to your mom. I've been around terrible mothers and she seems kind of different. I think I can figure this out if you could just give me some time. And Kyoka's like, all right, I'll let you do this. I'll get out of your way so you can do this quest that I find incredibly awful.
Mm-hmm.
But you said you could do it. So I trust you, wife to be. Back at home, we meet the new head maid, Nae, who is the one wearing Japanese style clothes. And Nae tells them that Fuyu won't be eating dinner with them. And Kyoka's like, well, great. Awesome. I don't have to see her. Cool. Nae shows them their room, which is a big Western style room with only one bed.
Scandal.
Mio sees the single bed and freaks out. She's like, are we supposed to sleep in the same bed? There's that's way more than anything we do at home. All of a sudden, I got to do that.
Whole body is a tomato.
Yeah. It's very lapsed embarrassed. Kyoka, who is not fazed by this, sits down and pours himself an enormous glass of whiskey. Like an entire, like he's pouring himself a Coke, but it's whiskey, the whole thing. I'm like, holy shit, dude. Guy buys an entire barrel of beer and then immediately pours himself a huge amount of whiskey.
I think it could be linked to having to stay in the same house as you.
For sure. It's so funny.
Excessive drinking out of nowhere.
It's like, yeah, he pulls out a bottle of whiskey and I'm like, oh, I get it. And then he pours himself like the equivalent of like 6 ounces and I'm like, damn, dude,
knock it back.
He turns to Mio and he's like, what's up, you seem tense. And Mio points to the bed and he's like, oh yeah, my dad was probably just being considerate. Anyway, we can just like, I don't know, sleep like normal, we don't got to do anything else. And Mio's like, anything else? And then gets embarrassed at the implication that they would have sex and runs out to request a separate room, leaving Kyoka kind of disappointed.
Yeah. Bummer. Boo. Come on. Give us some noodling.
Poor Kyoka, who's like, I brought Mio here because I knew I was going to have the worst time of my life. And the only time we get alone together, she wants to spend in another room because she's embarrassed.
Poor guy.
Brutal. Elsewhere, Arata is summoned by Takahito. He tells Arata that since he's the new head of the Asubas now, he needs him for a job. And Arata's like, all right, sure, you're the prince, I'll do a job for you. And Takahito says the capital will be shaken by Asuba blood and they're going to need Mio's help, but he doesn't know what specifically for as we cut to credits.
Bum, bum, bum.
Yep.
Some bigger scheme for the rest of the season.
That's the plot.
Back to back.
We're doing more
no
lags stuff
between Emperor and next big bad.
Yup.
All right.
So what do we think?
Feeling better. A lot happens in a single episode in this
That's
show.
True. This is pretty good. I like that Mio is more active and not like suffering from headaches the entire time.
Yeah, for sure.
Good. Yeah.
See, I'm not as much of a hater.
I mean,
aren't you proud?
Even keeled this time. Yeah, it's good.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I just want Joe's mom to
like my
me
God.
Again.
Give us your actual opinion. Stop holding back. People
no,
didn't listen
I'm
to this podcast
kidding.
For you to hold
I'm
your tongue.
I'm just kidding. No, that's how I feel. I feel fine about
Do
it.
Do we think Kyoka and Mio have even kissed yet?
No,
yeah, probably not.
All we got was a freaking forehead kiss.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Boo.
Yeah.
Well, it's like we're not even getting. There's no like little. I guess it's I don't know. There's no little like fun moments for them to flirt with each other. Hardly at all.
Yeah, not really. Oh, well, don't worry about it. Do you want to go into episode two?
Yep.
All right. Episode two is called A New Ordeal. We open on the next morning where Mio is called into Fuyu's room. Her and Nae go to see Fuyu in her room, which is very fancy because she is rich and has couches in her room. They got so many chairs.
I think she's got all the makeup and all the hair accessories. Mm-hmm. All the
a new big dress with a huge collar on today.
Yes.
Fuyu tells Mio that she's picked out an outfit for her, and we get to see that it's a maid's uniform. And Fuyu tells her that she'll be working as a servant today, as Fuyu refuses to accept her as her daughter-in-law. And she says Mio is unfit to be a kudo, so we're going to find a role that's fitting for her. And Mio is like, finding this all too familiar, is like, yeah, sure. And Mio is like, great, even you want to do it. Because Nae is like, I don't know if we should be doing this. I feel like Mr. Kudo is not going to appreciate this. And Fuyu's like,
what, they keep calling him Scion? Is that like a title?
I don't know. Maybe.
S-C-I-O-N.
S-T-I-O-N.
Really? S-C-I-O-N. Or at least that's in the one I was watching, they were calling it. Descendant of a noble family.
I think they're talking about Kyoka there.
Yeah. I was like.
Yeah.
Only.
Yeah. Nae is like, this is not going to go well. I don't think we should do this. And then Fuyu is like, shut up. I'm your boss.
Yeah. Well, I think it looks cute.
Yeah, she looks good in the outfit. This is extremely funny to me. Mm-hmm. But I'll talk about why it's funny in a little bit.
Yep.
Kudo walks around town thinking about where he should look to find an oni, because that's what he's doing this season. He revisits the shopkeep from yesterday to find where the abandoned shack is she mentioned before, and heads over there. And then we come back to me in a maid uniform. Pretty good.
Yeah.
Nae gives her the job of sweeping the front porch because she's like, I don't know what job to give you because I don't know what you can do. Anyway, surely anybody can sweep, right? Even a noble lady. And then Mio gets to work sweeping, which is a thing she literally does all the time. Even when she's at home. We saw her do it last episode.
I don't know. They gave us some close-up shots. Mind-blowing sweeping job by
Mio. She just does the thing. She does it easily. And Nae is like, oh, all right. I thought she was going to suck at this. Great. Then we cut to Mio washing the windows, which is a considerably harder job to do, which she also does very easily. Mm-hmm. And now the other maids are like, oh, shit. She knows how to do things. We didn't have to teach her how to do this. She just did it. All right, cool.
The power of cleaning is compelling.
The power of cleaning. Back in her room, Fuyu comments that Mio has probably given up by now. But Sasaki, who's the head butler, who's serving her tea, just like chuckles instead. And Fuyu's like, what? What are you laughing about? And then she learns that not only is Mio not giving up, but she's actually really good at cleaning and is like mad about it. Or Fuyu's mad about it. She goes down to see Mio and the other servants cleaning the floors. And Fuyu walks up to Mio and tells her that menial labor serves her well, and Mio says that she's gonna do her best. And Fuyu is like, all right, to clarify here, I'm insulting you. Like, I'm being mean. You should be insulted. Like, I don't, and I'm being mean because I don't want you here. Is there like some part of this interaction you're not understanding? But Mio says that she understands what's happening, but I can't leave because Kyoka wants me here. And also, I'm not gonna give up. I'm gonna try to do my best here. I'm not quitting. And Fuyu gets pissed and is about to slap Mio when she's stopped by Tadakio, who's like, all right, this has gone too far.
Yeah, I think Kyoko would be pretty pissed, and actually, maybe he'll act on his threat to kill you if you slap his girly.
Yeah, I'm like, listen, so, you can
good called Pops.
You can tell her to do housework if she agrees to do it, but you can't just go around hitting her. He tells his wife to rest upstairs and apologizes to Mio, but Fuyu protests, saying that Mio isn't suitable to be a kudo. It'll never work. But Tadakio is like, you got to go upstairs, and he ushers her upstairs. The other maids encourage Mio and say that they were all really impressed with her today. They're all cheering her on, and like totally understands why Kyoka would like her. She's great.
She can clean. What's not to like?
This is like the funniest sequence. To happen for Fuyu to be like, I know what'll get her. I'm going to task her with cleaning. I bet she's never done that before. And then I just think about, like, this is the number one thing she's good at. The single thing she's spent the most time in her life doing. It's like up there with the Emperor fighting the Dream Maiden in a dream. Fuyu's like, I'm going to get her on cleaning. I bet she's never done this before.
Schemes are not well thought out here.
I mean, there's no way she would guess her backstory because it makes no sense.
No, I guess not. No.
We got to Kyoka at the shack, which is like really a whole abandoned house. Like, it's not a shack.
No. Also, you grew up here, my guy. Wouldn't you like know? I'm assuming if you're a scamp who has powers,
yeah,
you're exploring, and you would have probably hung out at this abandoned shack as a kid or something.
Yeah, it's like a two-story, like, kind of Western-style stone building.
It's like an estate.
Yeah, I'm like, what is this? Anyway, he goes into the basement, because it also has a basement, and finds, like, a spooky abandoned laboratory? This is why I want him to do PI stuff. This is, like, genre work again, where I'm like, this is not fit in this time period, but it's very funny to be like, he's pulling the sheet off of a cage to find like a rat. You know what I mean? Like it's pretty good. And he stumbles across a seal that he recognizes. And we get a flashback to a meeting where the seal is identified as belonging to a new anti-imperial cult. But nobody knows anything else about it other than it's anti-imperial, which you can tell by the marking on the seal. It was really confusing. It was hard to tell if this was a flashback.
Oh, yeah. They did not do a very good job of making that clear. But I was just like, well, it's not like we're going back to town to check with everyone. So I'm assuming it's a flashback. Yeah,
because it's just like he sees the seal and then we just cut to him and like Okaito and all the military guys. And I'm like, did he go back home to have this meeting? But then we cut back to him in the basement. So it's like, OK, that was a flashback.
Yeah, no, I don't know, slap sepia tone on it or something. Yeah.
Anyway, Kyoka turns to see a cultist has followed him down into the basement, and the cultist says his name, and he's like, oh, it's Kyoka Kudo, and then he begins to attack him. Kyoka, like, jumps outside of this giant hole, like, in the wall where he could just get outside, and has a fight with the cultist. But this goes really easily, because Kyoka is much better than him, and easily knocks him out with lightning. However, when he approaches the cultist, the cultist says the founder of the Gifted Communion has given him powers, and then he blows himself up. Kyoka walks home reflecting that all he learned was the cult's name. And he wonders if he really should have brought Mio here.
Give it away. Oh,
and I'm like, you didn't find anything else in that basement? The basement didn't blow up.
Oh, that's a good point. Terrible. See, this is why it's not an investigation.
The PI wouldn't have just quit. I'm just saying he would have stayed. No, he would have done some investigating. Uh-huh. He'd have been like, what's going on with the shack? Did they leave anything behind? What's the material of this seal made out of? Maybe I can deduce something. Kyoka ain't got it in him.
Nope.
Anyway, Kyoka's like, oh, should I really bought Mio here? Because this seems to be like, this is going to be a whole deal. This is probably going to be the main conflict of this arc. I don't know if I should have brought her.
Too late now.
Yeah, he walks home only to find Mio waiting for him, and he sees her, and he like runs up to her and is like, have you been waiting out here for a long time? But she's like, nah, I just got here. Or no, she's just like, welcome back. She doesn't say anything.
No, she doesn't. She didn't clarify. No, she could have been there all day for all we know.
That's crazy. Would you just wait outside for like your husband to come home when you don't know when he's coming home?
If his mother's there and you don't want to hang out
that's
with her,
true.
Maybe.
That's true.
It's the better alternative.
Oh, man. Imagine if he, like, walked up and she's, like, smoking, like, she's taking a drag outside, you know what I mean? Just like, oh, had the longest day today.
Well, she hit the maid outfit from him. He doesn't know.
That's true.
She got.
She does a good
do
job
that.
Covering it up. None of the servants say anything. Yeah. It's a good cover-up job.
Nope.
They go inside and she serves him tea, and then she tries to make an exit because I'm sure she doesn't want to talk about today, but he calls her back to sit next to him. But she's very sheepish about doing this. She like sits far away, and then he like ushers her closer, and she gets closer, and then he wraps a blanket around her, and she is like very not comfortable with any intimacy, which is sad.
They're not married yet. It's canceled.
Her dad is like, you guys want the same room, right? Because y'all are going to be, you know, doing it. Don't worry about
it. Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah.
And she's over here like,
I was going to say, if they had shared a room, I'm sure his mom would have had something to say about it. So.
But it's very funny that, like, that's the dad's impression. And what's really happening is, like, Mio is too embarrassed to sit close to him when they're alone in a room together.
Yep. Not like he's done anything crazy to...
No, he's even really
perceived.
Come on to her.
Out of control dude. No. Oh.
Extreme patience.
What happened to the bold Mio petting his head?
Yeah. We're so far away from head patting. He asks her how it was today with his mom, and Mio says she learned a lot about her. She's like, it seems like she's really invested in protecting the family and upholding her reputation, or like the family's reputation. And Kyoka's like, wow, that is an extremely kind interpretation of my mother.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know where she's getting this from, but
I mean,
I guess she's saying something.
Like, it is true, but I mean, Jesus Christ.
Really super giving us that much to go off of. She does say, like, oh, you know, no one here I've seen a like dark expression cross her face. So it's like, and she knows all about that household style. So I guess from that alone, she can assume her mom's not a his mom's not a raging bitch to everyone. Yeah. Just her.
Pretty wild. Let's see. Da-da-da-da. It's the next day, and Mio goes to see Fuyu in her room. Fuyu is lying in bed and appears to be like sick or something. And she asks Mio why she's here, and Mio tells her that she just wants to talk, but Fuyu doesn't want to talk. But Mio says that it's clear that Fuyu cares about her family and is doing the best for them. And it would be really nice if, you know, like, just talked it out with your son. Maybe you, like, told him that. But Fuyu is not having it and throws Mio out.
It seems like she got embarrassed, maybe even, like, because she, like, closed the curtain on her bed, like,
dude,
I'm looking.
Like, can you imagine if you're like, ugh, I'm going to run this daughter, I'm going to run this lady out of my family. And like day one, not only is she like
persevering,
really good at cleaning and not bothered at all by your like outrageous demands, she also reads you like a book.
Yeah.
You're just like, shit, I'm getting owned left and right. Hasn't even been two days.
Well, and if she's feeling unwell, then it's hard to be imposing when you're just laying in your sick bed.
That's true. That's true. Later, Nae serves Mio tea and tells her that she's pretty much spot on about Fuyu. She's like, yeah, that's also my read of her. Apparently, she was really strict with Kyoka growing up. So it's like going to be really difficult for them to reconnect, though. Like, it's not, she's not just going to do it. Tadakio shows up and adds that Kyoka's mother's strictness also made Kyoka really cagey around women, which I thought was a funny add on.
Yeah, well, we haven't like seen him interact that much with other women, or at least none. Well, except for like when her sister was like hitting on him and stuff. But I mean, yeah, his mom's kind of, I guess, could see that being off-putting. Well, I mean, and this makes me
it's
think
just funny
that maybe, yeah, his sister got different treatment too.
Yeah, well, I mean, it does kind of recontextualize like her first meeting with him,
yeah,
where he was like really harsh and you're like, why is he so harsh? And then all of a sudden he's not, and it's like, I think it's he's just being a reactionary. Yeah, more or less.
True
So that's pretty good. Tadakio apologizes to Mio about yesterday and explains that Fuyu wasn't always so strict, but being the wife of Akuto really changed her. So I guess it's personally his fault. And she's like, don't worry about it. Mio thinks that her introduction to Fuyu went pretty much exactly the same as her introduction to Kyoka. This is where she's like, yeah, she basically did the same thing. That was crazy. But Tadakio reassures Mio that Fuyu understands her relationship with her son. So, you know, it's not like she's starting from zero.
Yeah. Well, also, if it's like being a Kudo wife changes you, that's not such a terrible thing for Mio, who's got, you know, she could stand to have a little spice in her life, I think.
That's true. I hope she like doesn't become like that. But yeah, it would be nice to experience some kind of push and pull with life. Maybe this, because suddenly there's a bang at the door. It's the shopkeeper and her son. We learn that his buddies were attacked by an Oni, and they're here to report it to Kyoka. And also the son's in a really bad way and like passes out mid-explanation. But Kyoka has to run off to the village and try to catch the Oni, while the women stay behind and tune to the shopkeeper's son, whose name is Kota. Mio wonders if she can use her dream sight powers to help Kota, but isn't sure. And she's like, well, Rada's not here to tell me how to help. So like, I would just be going at it alone, and I've only ever done this one other time, so I don't know, it seems kind of dangerous. And then Fuyu shows up and yells at all of them for bringing a cursed man into the house without, like, any quarantine protocols or anything. She's like, what, you guys didn't see the movie Alien? Come on, guys. Like, what do you think you're gonna do for him anyway? Just lie him on this table? But Mio says that she can help, she might be able to help him using her Asuba powers, and Fuyu is like, what the hell are you talking about? Because she apparently does not know this. But Mio insists that she's going to help even if it risks her own safety. She grabs Kota's hand and begins the process of separating her soul from her body. And she goes into the dream state and sees the Sakura tree and the infinite pond, which I guess is like her home spot. She runs towards it while insisting that this is definitely going to work. But when she's suddenly woken up by Arata telling her to stop, and she's like, Arata, why are you here? As we cut to credits.
Yeah, how'd you get there, dude? He's just got to be there for the ending credits of most episodes. Yeah. I guess. Okay. Well, again, because it's like, Yoko's dad must have known she was in Asuba. And so it's like, how much?
Yeah.
Okay. They're not like husband and wife not talking that much. Because he could have easily, I guess, made her be less severe on Mio by just revealing the truth. And then she'd probably think, this girl is more worthwhile. So like, why hold that information from her?
Yeah, it's very weird that she's like, oh, I got Asuba powers. And he was like, Asuba? What? What are you talking about? You're just some random chick.
Yeah.
Clearly, like, in the dark completely.
Well, I mean, even if she was some random chick, it still doesn't change the fact that her husband's the one who, like, picked her. So you would think she wouldn't, or, you know, in like, normally you would think the wife wouldn't dare question the husband's decisions, but I guess this household is a little different.
Oh, she's definitely questioning his decisions. Yeah, it's very matriarchal, it feels like, but I guess not, because he's doing
stuff without telling.
He's a little shady.
The smile's a facade. What is he up to?
Oh yeah. It's good. I like that. I like that dynamic. How do we feel about this, about her deal? About Fuyu's deal, because all I can think about is that this is basically the plot of Crazy Rich Asians, a movie I don't like that much.
Oh my God, you're so right. It basically is. Wow. You're right. You don't like that movie that much?
Well, I don't like where it comes down on like the resolution of that. Cause it basically, like, cause in that movie, it's kind of just like, it's what's her face? I don't remember the actress. What's the main chick's name?
The one from Fresh Off the Boat.
I remember so little about that movie. Yeah. It's very much the same thing where, like, what's her face, who is like a professor at like an Ivy League university, shows up and is going to marry this rich guy who doesn't tell her that he's rich because he sucks. Nick sucks in that movie, by the way. And then the mom is all like terrible because she's like, oh, I got to protect the family. You're not worthy of this. And over the course of the movie, she like proves that she is or whatever. And that's kind of what happens.
Rather than being like, screw you, mom, stand up for my girl.
No, it's not that I want that. I just like, I don't like the reckoning. Like, there is no reckoning with the fact that, like, by prioritizing your reputation of your family, you have, like, ostracized yourself from them. Like, to what end is protecting your family in this way useful? Like, you have, I guess, protected them from some kind of threat to making you less rich or less powerful, and as a trade-off your entire family hates you. Like, in this it's like, the Kudo family is now big and powerful, and even the emperor is scared of them, and as a result Kyoka never wants to talk to you or ever see you again. How is that possibly worth it to you?
Yeah, that's true. Well, I guess maybe, do you think we'll get any flashback of like her coming on board to the family and what she went through or what was drilled into her head, blah, 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 anything like that?
Probably. Yeah. It's probably like some awful shit that happened to her that I'm going to feel bad about saying this later. But this does show up in several things where it's like the idea of a family is different than the actual people in your family. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That I just don't understand. Like, that is just like a value difference.
I mean, I guess at least Mio will probably see it as like, look at her putting so much effort in for the family versus like, look what my family did to me. So at least it's like her acting with some intention of it being for good for the family rather than just malicious. I don't know. Mio's going to like idolize her or something.
Yeah. I mean, Mio does interpret all of this as like positive, right? She's
very generous.
Not like positive in the way she treats people, but positive in the way that like your intentions are good.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. Because she is the lead. Well, I mean, I guess she's the most like has no priors about what a family is. And so she's able to like have more varied interpretations of it, which is why she can see this and Kyoka can't. Yeah. Right. So that's fun. I'm wondering where we're going to land on that, because I am going to be I have ideas about this that I don't know if the show is going to share with me.
Well, how long do you think they're going to be at their house? Or you think it's going to be like a couple more episodes and then we're back to it and some other thing happens with this cult?
I mean, stuff's got to happen with this cult, right? Because we got to do Mio has to get involved in that plotline somehow.
Godo.
You know, it seems like all of this is caused by some Asuba, which means that there's probably another Asuba out there.
Yes.
But I don't know. I do really want Hazuki to show up at some point and we see her dynamic with the family.
Yeah. And bring Asahi, the kiddo, and your ex-husband.
Yeah, he was in the opening.
Fall back in love.
Yeah. He was in the opening. It's got to happen.
What if, if her mom is like this, how bad is the mother-in-law that she didn't get along with her?
That's true. She's got to be worse somehow, right? Like, how much worse can it get?
All the parents are terrible in this universe.
But yeah, so we've planted a lot of flags. I'm really interested in to see what happens next. I'm not that interested in the cult plotline.
No, not at all.
It's better than a bunch of ghouls are going to attack the Capitol, but it's still not like every time we have a scene with that, I'm kind of like, I wish we were back doing the character drama.
Honestly, like that's why it's like, if you're going to do that stuff, do it good or don't do it at all. Then you're taking away from the stuff that, you know, this is probably better suited for.
We'll see.
Yep, I guess so. That's today's coverage of My Happy Marriage Season 2. Join us next time as we cover Season 2, Episodes 3 and 4.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, what can our viewers do for us after we've given them the delight that is another episode listening to us?
Listen to more episodes, put on other episodes. Maybe you haven't listened to us talk about other shows and you can right now on demand. Like, you don't have to wait a week for us to watch two episodes of a TV show. You can watch an entire TV show and listen to our entire coverage of it, because we have covered several shows up to this point, including Kimi ni Todoke and Skip Beat and Angelic Lair and The Rose of Versailles and that other one. Chihaya Furu. We did that one for a long time, man. There's lots of episodes on that. So go ahead and do that stuff. Rate us 5 stars out of 5 stars on your podcast platform of choice. It helps us out. Tell your friends about it. You know, I'm sure they like anime. Maybe they don't. Maybe this is your chance to be the cool friend who has all the good recommendations.
May your friend.
And you can be like, oh, you can recommend this thing.
Is obsessed with the Star Wars holiday special. And there's not enough coverage of that.
We recorded and maybe have released at this time a bonus episode on the Star Wars holiday special, which I don't think we recommend you should watch. You should just listen to us talk about it.
Yeah.
Don't watch that.
Don't. It's highly advised. It's not that good. Watching, honestly.
Yeah.
That's the plan. That'll be our Christmas gift to everyone. This is sparing you that.
A Christmas gift to you.
Awesome. What did we learn today?
What did we learn from this episode?
If you're in old timey Japan and there's an unwed couple, I would not assume they're sharing a bedroom yet, especially when it seems like that your husband and wife of the household they're staying in doesn't even share a bedroom. They don't even have the same room. So yeah.
Yeah. That's a pretty good one. Listen, in my younger days, I would say that go ahead and pour yourself 6 ounces of whiskey all in one glass. But now that I've experienced the consequences of that, maybe you should go one at a time. You should pour yourself a little bit and then have a little bit and then pour yourself a little bit more and then ask yourself if you really should do that. What you shouldn't do is drink a bunch of whiskey an hour and a half into camping and become extremely hungover and then have to drive home the next day because your tent broke. Don't do that.
Reference.
Don't be like
whichever
me
episode
do that.
Where we have the pace entire yourself. Story of that somewhere. I think while we
pace yourself when you're having a bad time.
Yeah. Yes. I myself recently had a Christmas party where it's like, it just all happened at once. And
man, the eggnog really hit.
I was just drinking my cheap little margarita thing, but no, we were playing some game and I was just being a know-it-all. doing stuff after. Yeah.
Too powerful. Yeah. That's what happens when your brain's too big. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Sweet. All right, guys. Look at that. This is probably our last episode of this year of 2025. And then see you next year, everyone.
Anything could happen in the future.
That's right.
Yay.
All right. Catch you then. Bye.
All right. Bye.